What is up? Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. In podcast land, it's not quite season yet, but in real life of you listening to this right now, it might be season.
Less than a month away right now.
Yeah, right now in the recording time. But we hope you are geared up and ready and prepared and feeling good. The luck of the podcast is with you. It's been a while since we brought that back.
Dude,
but here it is.
We need it.
Get after it. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Pretty cool. Love HHA. They've been partners of ours for a few years. And if you've been wanting to get into a single pin site, code WCB15 will get you into a single pin site or a drop away rest with a lifetime warranty. A company that supports our veterans and is basically all Midwest sourced materials to make their products.
Just so, a badass company.
Yeah, really. A cool thing too. This has been out on social media and some other podcasts probably by now. But we just partnered, if you will, or we're working with DeerCast. Drury Outdoors have the app DeerCast, which is awesome. My favorite newer feature that they have is the I can't remember what they call it here. I can open it. But if you shoot an animal and you're unsure, you can like select where you shot it within this app. And then if you get an elite membership, you get all the features. It's unlocked. But you can watch videos of shots at that shot placement to see, like, basically give you the breakdown of if you're unsure
like
about
where you shot it and all that stuff.
I don't know why I can't get through that here, but anyway, we have a code WCB20 saves you 20% off an elite membership, and you have to go to, let me get you the website here. This is how prepared we are. try.deercast.com. It'll be linked in the description of this episode. So WCB20 gets you 20% off your elite membership. There's a lot of stuff in there. I mean, if you just want to check the weather, barometric pressure, shit like that, that's the app for you. So check it out.
That's what I use for
DeerCast.
A lot.
Absolutely. It is the shit. It is the shit. Highly recommended. So that helps us out. If you go there, use our code and helps good people out. The juries are
some
of our
favorites.
Save
you some coin.
Mm-hmm. Save you some money. Everybody bitches about shit being expensive. You're going to buy it anyway. Save 20%. I mean, I don't know. Help yourself out. Podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher. We have the room clean running in here right now. I have, man, the new roller bag, the new gear bag. They're ready to go. Ready to rock.
The new closet.
I got the closet set up.
Oh, dude, man, it's so badass.
What an upgrade.
Such an upgrade.
I put it in my garage, and I'm like excited for people to come like, oh, dang.
Dang,
nice,
what's that?
Yeah, what's up? No more scent of my clothes.
What's crapping?
You want my clothes. And I know people have their opinions about like ozone and scent and all that, and people would just hunt the wind. I get it, but to think that you're going to go in and not do everything you can to be scent free.
Why not help yourself?
Sort of ignorant, but that's all you. Also, Loophole Optics. I'm thinking about them all the time out there in liberal land. Just freaking Chaz and all the other shit going on, but they're right in the middle of it. They're just outside of Portland. Great people, great company. I think if you're going to invest in binos or a rangefinder, we saw that question. Do you see it? What rangefinder does everyone run?
Yep.
That's one product that I'm willing to spend a little more money on.
Yeah.
Is a rangefinder.
When I first started, I wasn't, but now it's like you should have a nice one.
Oh, yeah.
You ever have a battery die or you hit the button and it's not like laser?
Doesn't never work. It starts,
my old one never registered.
Buzzing. And you're like,
you ever have a deer come in and have a rangefinder that doesn't read?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit.
And you go into absolute panic mode.
And it'd be different if, like, you know, I pre-range and shit like that, but I like to know.
Yeah.
Well, I pre-range too, but when a deer's coming in, throw that out the fucking window.
You forget shit real
remember.
Quick. You forget shit real quick.
Unless in like 20 yards, you're like, fuck.
That's it.
Doing math in your head.
That's how you stop them.
Carry the two.
Fuck. Carry the two.
Doug's over here doing geometry or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I don't know. I'd say invest in good stuff.
Absolutely.
Run Loophole. Love it. Thermoseat. We have a code at Thermoseat. Don't ask me how much it saves you. It just saves you money if you're in the market. WCTS is the code there. Victory Archery. Rip TKOs around the board, except for Eric is shooting extortions.
Extortion. Yeah, that's right.
Put one in an antelope?
That's right.
I hope so, man.
First one I see.
Gator Outdoors, code there. WCB. We're just code people now. I know that's a good thing.
I think it is.
Well, yeah, it's a good thing because we're saving some people some money.
Seems tacky.
No, don't.
Fuck it. WCB10 saves you money at Gator Outdoors. We have Gator and Working Class Arrow Wraps coming to you very hot. By the time this launched, they're already out. So go to workingclassbowhunter.com and get you one.
Get you a set.
Elite Archery.
Don't buy just one.
Yeah, don't buy just one. I buy like a dozen at least.
At least.
Also, Elite Archery, big time, code WCB2020 if you haven't got your food plot seed. Hunter's Blend Coffee and Old Barn Taxidermy. Cool thing with Old Barn Taxidermy right now, keep this in mind. One, great taxidermy work no matter what you're getting done. They have a specialist basically in every category. But the cool thing this year, you go to Old Barn Taxidermy. I don't know if we're going to do the Colorado location, but the Fort Madison location. And they also have drop-off points. So go to Old Barn Taxidermy and see like where they have drop-off points. It's easy to get your animal to them. If you go to Old Barn Taxidermy this year and say, hey, the podcast sent us here, we heard about this on the podcast, they will have a form or a ticket that you can put your name and your information on, and that puts you in a drawing to win a free mount for like the following year or whenever you're going to use it. So, but that pot is only from listeners of the podcast.
Yep.
So it's
you got to mention us when you take your deer there.
Yeah, just say, hey, the podcast sent us. It's not 100,000 people. They take a lot of work in.
Right.
Not 100,000 shoulder mounts, but a ton of people. It's not all the customers. It's only WCB listeners. That's so your chances are good.
They're actually really good.
You guys who listen actually kill some stuff and take it there, you can win a free mount.
That's right.
It's pretty cool. They take care of you. Old Barn Taxidermy, check them out. Do you have a veteran shout out? Steve. Steve is here.
Oh, I am. Yeah, actually.
Oh, shit, you're still alive?
Oh, hey, Steve.
Yeah, still alive. Hey, next time you guys try to kill me, do a better job because I keep showing up.
Oh. We thought you were dead, dude.
He's got 50 Cent over here.
Oh, boy, I wish I was. Anyway. So here's the vet shout out sent in by our good buddy Nate. He says, this may be a bit of a different kind of veteran shout out, but I felt it to be an important one to make. While I'm not shooting my bow or thinking about whitetails, I'm practicing. And here's the fun word of the day. Psychoanalyst. Yeah. Over the past number of years, I've had a great opportunity with working with many veterans in my practice. This is fairly unique due to the fact that psychoanalysis has not historically been a part of the services offered to veterans. But I have tried to remedy this, as I believe this form of treatment is very well suited for veterans who need to speak freely of their own lives and experiences. Due to confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
Confidentiality requirements. There we
Sounded
go.
It out. That's a smart guy.
Wage brain.
There it is.
That's why I don't want to read that one.
Get that word
a lot of
right
big
there.
Words in there.
They called me in just to read that. Due to those requirements, I cannot shout out these veterans out directly by name, but hopefully they will hear this and know that I'm speaking to them. I wanted to publicly commend them for what they have done for this country and for the work that they continue to do. Mm-hmm. The transition to civilian life is often an extremely difficult one, and many of these fine individuals, unfortunately, have few resources to assist them. I found it to be a great honor to work with them and to do what I can along with them as a partner to facilitate the life that they are trying to lead. These men and women are great assets to our world, and they need to be recognized as such. I hope this shout out will serve to do just that. So, Nate, want to thank you especially for what you're doing for our men and women of that have served, and for all the veterans that are out there that Nate can help. And if anybody needs help, you know, seek out people like Nate. Man, we thank you guys for your service. 100%. We could never do this podcast without the sacrifices you guys have done, and it's for us now to do our part to help better your guys' lives. Since you guys gave so much, we can give just a little bit more back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you everyone for your service. Thanks Nate for sending that in. We appreciate you. And if you'd like to submit a veteran shout out, workingclassbowhunter.com, the contact tab, and you can submit your own veteran shout out there. Give us more information than just a name. That way we can actually justify the shout out, because otherwise we got nothing to go off of.
Yeah.
I know some got submitted that were just like a name and like nothing else. So it's like we be like, all right,
we
Jerry.
We want to do it justice, so we need an explanation.
Yeah. These are not rap songs. We need content.
Yeah.
We're going to give shout outs.
Yeah, we want to do it. We want to do it justice. You can't just be like, cool, Jerry. Thanks, man. And that's it, because who's Jerry, you know?
But if you're a DJ and you're a vet and you go by DJ Jerry, I mean, what's up? We got you. It's all good.
All right. And I think that cues the intro. Look at me. I'm doing this on the fly. Normally I do it in post. I used to do it on the fly all the time, but here it is. feels real. We get to listen again.
Chase Rolfson with
Rob. We haven't done this for a while.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock on TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome to the podcast officially. We never listen to the intro while we're like in studio. We used to do it all the time and it gets like
hyped for every episode.
It gets pumped up.
So there it is. I did it again.
You bring that back more often.
I know. I think I'm going to do them like that from now on. Anywho, what's up, everyone? Kurt Geyer, your host, speaking. We have Eric Hammond.
That's right. I'm here.
We have Stevie Mo Lives.
Hey, I'm still alive. And what was nice is the little throwback. Number one, these guys didn't kill me. The throwback is it goes Kurt, Eric, me. So when we had the original studio, this was the setup. We would look down the line at each other, able to listen to the intro. So it's the throwback episode. I feel good.
We have Doug Schmidt.
Yo.
What'd it do?
What it do, baby?
It is what it is.
What it do, baby?
And we have our very special guest, stud of a man, a steed, if you will.
It drives a minivan.
Boy. Cole Young.
Sure do.
Welcome. Hey. Who the hell are you?
I'm excited to be here, man.
Are you?
Second time. First time I had no idea what I was doing, but.
Well, it's the last time you're in studio. Give a little background here of our guest. Cole, we worked together. So that's how we met. You became a member of Team Working Class Bowhunter. Our team that we have, and you—the first podcast you did with us, the Bucks actually in studio mounted—is a 170-inch Illinois stud whitetail, Bowkill.
Yeah, that's first podcast we did.
Yeah, so
it was
go
all
back.
About Curly.
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 So yeah. This podcast is about Sir Randy.
Sir Randy.
Sir Randy. Yes.
Yep. The Macho Man Randy Savage.
He's got a lot of nicknames.
He does. Randall.
Randy is a 7.5-year-old whitetail
that is as big as some year-and-a-half-old deer.
We'll get into that, though.
We'll get into that. He's in studio.
So thanks for coming back,
maybe
man.
Maybe 2.5.
We didn't burn you out the first time?
No, I had a lot of fun. I've been begging you to come back to do the one on Randy. I was like, we got to do that.
I know.
And finally, you're like, yep, let's just schedule it. Otherwise,
we'll never get done.
We'll never do it.
We are scheduled for a long while. We have that's what I did. Normally, I was trying to do them like on 2-week notice type span. It's impossible to do it, so I just started Google Calendar, and we're out to like, I mean, it's September 1-2 right now.
Right now, yeah.
And we're looking like November.
Well, you just got so many more resources now, you know.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is good.
It's a great thing.
It's a good problem to have. Cool announcement, real quick, before we get into big buck stories. Everyone's been wondering where Steve's at, what he's doing. We tried to kill him. He just won't die.
He's like a cat. He's 9 lives, man. Yeah,
so
well, he's got at least 8 left.
Yeah. Everyone's like, did you fire Steve? No, we did not technically fire Steve.
Yeah, not technically.
Laid him off.
But I think we need to give...
You cannot collect unemployment.
It's on leave.
That's bullshit.
Because you're never actually unemployed.
Do not pass go.
Yeah, I was an independent contractor. I got laid off. Where's my fucking unemployment?
So give everyone kind of like a rundown. So you got something cool. Let me give this a build up because I don't think you won't do it to yourself because
he won't do it justice for sure.
Yeah, Steve's passion obviously is comedy, and we've been for a long time been encouraging you to hit like stand up comedy heavy because you're good at it.
Yeah,
and I guess you kind of have, but you haven't really. And so we've been like, dude, why don't you like hit that hard? Like travel, like do stand up shows and all that. Well, then I'm like, why don't you do a comedy deal? And then this is where you take over.
Yeah. So, I guess over the past few months, as soon as COVID hit, we obviously had to have a change in how the podcast worked. And I wasn't coming around a whole lot. No one was. I mean, we were doing a lot of Zoom podcasts, which fucking suck.
That was terrible.
I feel bad for Kurt for having to upload those fucking car wrecks. But
it is what it is.
The only good thing about that was we're at home drinking.
We didn't have to drive home an hour and a half.
Hey, you guys got some drinks for the pot? Like, dude, we've been drinking since one before this shit.
Fill up a laundry basket.
You can't see my can pile.
Oh, fuck, we did.
Yeah, we did that one night.
Two episodes in a row. I've always had other passions outside of hunting, and just kind of how I am. And if you know the history of this, I started out as a hip hop podcast, and it turned into a comedy podcast. And I've always done stand up. Well, this was a fun thing for me to do for a couple years. But the later I got in life, and you know, with this whole thing, I tried to make a lot of changes to myself because you know, for 5.5 years, I've been the piece of shit. So like that's not a joke. But
you played that role pretty well.
I did. My greatest good character role ever. I really only did that 5 years for a nice 45-minute documentary on YouTube, right? That's all I want in my life is for somebody to document my life.
On Vice or something?
Yeah.
So you're saying
Vice would be big.
So you're saying you weren't a dipshit before this, but you started being an idiot?
Yeah, it was complete character change.
Gotcha.
It's a character.
Just wanted to clarify that.
5 years of research for a 45-minute role. But, recently, my mind creatively has gone to a lot of other places, and it, unfortunately, and if I haven't been providing the best content for you listeners, I apologize. For me, I have had my mind other places, and we had a really nice chat where I'm at creatively, and I think the best thing moving forward for this podcast, I'm going to step away for a little bit. And I'm going to go pursue this. So it's what do the Amish kids go through when they don't have the Amish?
Rumspringer.
So I'm going on a Rumspringer.
But then you're making it seem like you're going away and doing some weird adventure thing.
I'm just talking.
You're going to a comfortable place for you, place that makes sense for Steve.
Yep. I'm going to go pursue a comedy podcast. I'm not leaving the WCB.
You'll be in and out.
I'll be in and out, and if the demand is high enough and you guys are like, we need Steven, well...
Part-time.
I have to show up to that because I'm obligated to show up if there's enough of a demand for an episode for me to show up to.
Unless we kill you first.
Unless you guys do kill me first, which there's still an option of that because if I show up here...
Here's the thing. While you're getting this comedy podcast rolling, and I want you to do a breakdown for listeners, but I also... Mm-hmm. We got to be conscious of time. We can do that at the end. Can we tell people we killed you?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we push him in a wood chipper.
It'd be hilarious. Yeah,
no, he fell in a wood chipper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
The cops he fell.
Story wrote itself.
He beat me.
Yeah, I would hope you would have told people we killed him anyway, like especially if I just was like missing for 5 minutes. Like, Steve went to go pee. Where's he at? Like, yeah, we chopped him up to death. Fuck him.
Fuck him.
No, this...
That's exciting, though, man. Like, you didn't really... I don't feel like you did it justice... And we'll talk about the podcast at the end, but the podcast, give a rundown of your ideas. I think it's great.
Yeah, well, we can hit that at the end because Cole drove quite a long ways, and we need to get to his story. It's a better story than mine.
Working class bow hunter is talking about buying Steve's comedy podcast. It's going to happen for $4.
It's $4.
It's the negotiation of the century.
We'll even give you big checks, you know.
Oh, can I be on your guys' pro staff if you buy my podcast?
No.
We'll put you in, like, the bottom corner.
10%, bro. That's all I want.
All right.
We'll give you 4%.
That's pretty cool. Stevie Mo. Yeah.
So there you go. The question has been answered. Steve is pursuing comedy in a nutshell.
Yes, he's still alive.
I always drag it out.
We thought the Beatus would have killed you by now, but it didn't.
you think ho-hos and Twinkies are going to kill me? They've been the only ones who've loved me this whole time. They're not going
to
kill me.
It's only going to give you enough of a sugar rush to roll your ass out of bed.
Casey's pizza.
Dude, I had to switch to Monster Sugars just to get me a good rush in the morning.
Just mainline a ho-ho right into the jugular.
While chugging a Monster.
Yeah. All right.
Little Debbie's my only girlfriend, bro.
Anyway, thank you for that announcement,
anyway,
Steve.
Yeah, see, I'm going to shut the fuck up the rest of this episode.
Exhibit A, why Steve's leaving.
As much shit as I give you, I got a lot of guys that listen back in my era. They're like, you know, Steve's See, this is a good part of the podcast. So,
yeah.
Even though you hit on my wife every time you see her.
Oh, by the way, how is your wife doing?
I want to judo chop you.
Is she good?
You do. She's doing great.
She's number one on the check name, right? So when it's Mrs. and Mr. Coley Young, right?
No, she's doctor, so she's a
oh,
head.
Oh, that's right. So she got
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
She's a doctor, and she's
funny story about that is I went to pick up my beef, and they couldn't find it. And he's like, was it under, oh, wait, is it Dr. Ariel Young? I was like, yeah, it's doctor.
That's her.
And he's like, oh.
It's tough.
Okay, I got it.
Please believe my main goal in life is not the podcast, but for your gorgeous wife, the doctor, to leave you for me.
Hey.
Good luck.
You could go to her doctor's office and use her services and see her probably as often as you wanted.
Does she have a WCB discount code?
I'll ask her if we can get one.
We just keep selling out. We'll have one in like 2 days.
Hey, man, is your foot not stepping right? Well, we got a pediatric code for you.
Yeah, sponsored by Burke's Chiropractic.
Yeah.
WCB5.
Yeah. Does something feel off?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway,
should be happy.
What's up, Cole? Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sorry about all this.
It's fine.
You know, all the mumbo jumbo. So, give us some background on you if people didn't listen to the first episode. You're an Illinois boy, born and raised, or what?
Yep. Erie, Illinois. Been there. I was born there. I went to college, but then I came back.
Yeah.
Bought a house, and we got a family farm there. Since my grandpa, but since then he's passed, so it's all been split up, but it's my dad's farm, and
yeah, so you've been hunting your entire life or what?
Yeah, 9 years old.
No kidding, from the get.
9 years old when I shot.
And on the same property.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's
all
badass.
The way up until this last year.
That's, oh shit.
This last year is the first year I went off of my dad's piece of ground with a gun to try to shoot a deer.
So, okay. Is that deer Randy?
That deer is not Randy.
Oh.
That deer is not.
That's interesting. So, you have... I mean, I don't know what that's like. I wish I knew what it was like to have that like feeling of like... Well, I guess I kind of can hunt the same property I started on. Like, the main timber that I started hunting got bulldozed like 6-7 years ago. Real sad. Like, kind of bummed me out, right?
Right.
It's just a flat area now. Like, but I hunt next to it. So, it's kind of like a weird thing, but...
It's kind of feeling, and it's pretty cool though.
Yeah,
you just know every inch of the woods. I mean,
that's the thing. Yeah. Like it, so sometimes it's kind of like a catch-22 where you're like, if you don't have something,
there are years where
it's like this year I have a couple deer in mind, but like, you know, when you got like a rebuilding year, where you've just shot, you've gone 3 years in a row where you've killed. You know, basically all your target deer, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, I don't really know what's next.
Right. You got to wait two, three years before the other bucks get mature that you passed on and are waiting on. Yep. And for people that might take that the wrong way, because there's going to be some people that are public guys that are going to puff their chest out and do that, which let's quit that fucking debate, stupid.
Right.
Hunt where the deer are big.
Right.
I don't give a fuck. I'm tired of hearing about I respect all you guys that hunt Northwoods bucks. But I'll be honest, if I lived in North Michigan, was hunting Northwoods bucks or Northern Wisconsin, and, well, some of those bucks get pretty studly. Anywhere they get studly. You know where I'd go? I'd fucking leave and hunt where I knew there were big deer.
Exactly.
So, anyone
and
that's...
The whole public land debate, I mean, it's different. You know, if I got to be extremely strategic and good about access to the pieces that I'm hunting, because... It's not like, and I'm probably going to get tore up for this, but it's not like public where I bump a deer and I just got to walk a little further, or I got to just go find a new place, new area.
Yeah.
When I bump, you know, a deer that I've been after for 2 years.
Could be game over.
I'm like.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been instances where, like, I get a deer that I've watched for a while. I had one that I watched him work scrape at like 250 yards, and I rattled, and he came on a beeline, and he got like 60 yards, caught my wind.
Gone.
Never seen him again.
Yeah, that's a reality.
Never, ever. Not once.
Yeah, and that's what's cool about just the different ways. Like, we just need to ignore that and just go back to just like people are hunting, let them hunt how they want to hunt. But
no, that's kind of what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah,
there's
But I know that too.
There's like, advantages and disadvantages, mm-hmm. all the same.
Yeah, and I didn't grow up hunting hundreds of acres, like small piece. And I'm on there every day.
Right.
You know, like when I can, not every day, but damn near, you know? And you're going in there and you're just.
Yeah, I know. I heard Kurt hunts the same stand every day.
Every time I'm lazy.
Every day.
Same ladder stand.
Ladder stand.
Same 12 foot ladder stand.
With a beer, with some beers.
Just in there hustling, dude.
Smoking.
Putting up Instagram stories, just grinding.
Tell you what, man, same blind, same grind, bro.
Hey,
with all the tags and hashtags.
Yeah, dude.
Grinding.
You know,
grinding.
I'm making just super elaborate TikToks because like, I have more time on my hands because I never kill anything. Just posting pictures of waterfowl, you know, because I'm
and catfish.
I can tell how good of a deer hunter someone is by how many pictures of waterfowl they post.
Absolutely.
God damn, dude. I cannot wait for like tons of fucking me shooting some fucking mallards and shit. Oh, man.
I'm just kidding about that, by the way, but we all know who I'm talking about. Yep. Like, every Instagram trick's like the best deer hunter, but somehow they're always just shooting geese during the rut.
During the rut.
Just can't figure it out, huh?
Had to pass geese the time are easier, somehow. Huh?
I might turn to that too, damn. Bug it.
Damn, just expose everybody's wounds right here.
Dude, Doug just quits deer hunting and starts waterfowl hunting.
Hell, oh, yeah. Dude, ain't that going to be the bullshit when we finally realize the huntresses were leading the way to like being outside
too,
and enjoying.
They're too scared to walk in the woods in the dark by themselves, so they go with their fucking friend's boyfriend. Yeah, they go with an outfitter. They've been exchanging free hunts for naked photos for
slaying them.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Every woman sitting on $1 million.
Hey,
that's right.
You ain't kidding.
They just don't know it.
You ain't kidding.
It's tough out here.
It is tough out here, man.
Damn.
Dude, the good life, the Paris Hiltons of the hunting world, they're fucking living large.
Yeah, dude. Shoot more does, man. There's too many does. The picking's easy. That's the hunting, the Instagram hunters game right now. We need to call some. Those. Some of you need cold.
All right, yeah, wipe them up, bros. You guys are hearing it.
It's time to get the fuck out, you know?
Dude, you know what the WCB needs to start is a dating service for a lot of Insta-huntresses who are not with a man, but they need to be culled from the herd and, like, get the fuck off Instagram. Go get a man and have a family. WCB 25. Go WCB 25.
And download the app, you get a discount.
Yeah.
We'll help you cull that herd.
Free app.
Yeah. Scouting does for though. You.
Next thing you know, we're posting promo photos on Instagram of us promoting teeth whitening infrared units. Fucking posting pictures of Doug's ass on Instagram, leaning over a truck with a mallard in his mouth.
Can that actually happen? Like, no.
Dude,
bullshit.
Make Hunting Great Again was posting pictures today of like some people like with doves in their mouth.
Doves in their mouth.
What the fuck?
I'll do it. Fuck it.
Fucking Ozzy Osbourne or what?
For the brand.
Yeah, for the brand.
Doug's a soldier for the brand.
Be a
love
soldier.
It.
Ride or die.
Ride or die. Back to hunting. So you were going to leave. That's got to be weird, right? Like finding places other than your homeland, like your home court, right?
Right.
Like, how do you feel weird doing that? Do you feel like you're like betraying?
I do feel a little weird.
Do you feel like you're kind of like. Betraying the ground you've like poured all your like commitment to, you know what I mean? Kind of like, do you have a sentimental attachment to that ground?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up on it. I mean, I hunted with my grandpa. I mean, pretty much every deer I shot for the first, you know, 10 years, you know, my dad was, I mean, still to this day, the first person I call when I shoot a deer is my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes and helps me gut it. Like, that's just
it's tradition
the way it
at
is,
that point,
right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it is a little bit weird, but I mean, I get my dad and my brother involved and,
yeah.
You know, the piece that I did pick up, you know, my dad came down and helped me get the CRP in good shape. And he seemed excited about it. So I was like, well, we'll give it a shot then.
See what's
here.
How far is this piece that you got from the family farm?
It's like an hour and 45 minutes south.
Oh, that's a jaunt.
It's a little bit of a drive.
This is a piece you've been telling me about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And it's, I mean, it's in the heartland of mega
giants. It's in a sleeper county of Illinois.
Yes.
I like to consider, like, that's...
It is a bit of a sleeper county.
That stretch of, like, two or three counties right there running east-west is, like, the sleeper county.
Which I know it'd be in the sleeper county for sure.
Dude, the studio's in a sleeper county.
Yeah.
We're in a sleeper county right here. Mercer County, not trying to put you on blast, but you're a sleeper county.
I think, like, the biggest roadkill in in Illinois history came from, like, right down, I mean, Andalusia area.
Oh, no kidding. That's not Mercer County, though.
Right, but it's close.
Yeah.
Next county over, ain't it?
Right.
Rock Island.
I don't know if, I don't quote me on that, but it was a big son of a bitch. Big ass typical.
Really? I have to look that up. That's cool, though. So, you're, so let's get into, let's build the story up of Randy.
It was Illinois City. It was one of the, anyways.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's Rock Island County still.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah. 100%, because that goes all the way to the river.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. But that's near Andalusia.
Yeah.
So, Randy. Let's talk about Randy, because Randy is a very unique-looking buck, as people are going to see from the cover art.
He is
so give
an
me,
interesting-looking deer, that is for sure.
Give me some background on Randy. Like, how long have you known about Randy? Give me,
man. How long have you two been friends? Let's just
paint the picture.
Me and Randy.
So you go way back?
We go way back.
Yeah, fucking A.
So the funny thing is like, where he got his name is a lot of times me and my brother, if we're trying to zone in on one deer, we'll kind of like try to double team him and get.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Easy.
Yikes.
Easy. But we'll get like two stands where we think the wind's going to be good enough, and we kind of got him figured out a little bit. And we were doing that on this big 8-pointer that we were trying to hunt. And this deer shows up, and he's clearly a 3-year-old with an absolutely inferior rack. Like, he's like 11 inches wide and has like 6-inch tines, but his body is enormous.
Yeah.
And he comes down the hill to me, and he is just, I mean, going up to honeysuckle bushes and just
shredding them,
thrashing them. And then he's running off deer that are like 130 inches. Like,
yeah, way out of his league.
Don't fuck with me. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I'm
crazy. Yeah.
And then he goes up the hill and he does it to my brother, and
he's like that 18-year-old at a bar, you know?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drives a jacked up diesel pickup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We
just
know
a,
you.
Just a bro dozer.
A bro dozer.
His dad's got some money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
my dad's a sheep farmer, ass wipe. Get out of my way. Thanks.
So he comes down, and I was like, dude, this guy's just tearing everything up down. You know, we're texting back and forth, and I was like, man, macho man up there. And he goes, We should call him Savage. I was like, Macho Man Randy Savage, and it just kind of stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, obviously he wasn't on the shooter list.
Yeah, but it's just kind of a noteworthy thing. He earned his name.
Right, no, he did. He kind of like made an impression.
That was the first time you ever saw him or anything. Well,
that's like, yeah, the first time noteworthy. I think I do have pictures of him the year before.
Just like, a youngster, though. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like I said, I'll get you the...
He was going through puberty and realized he was the boss all of a sudden.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
He's going through the transition.
This is important stuff for Randy. We got to paint this picture.
Because he finally found Elizabeth.
I don't know what that is.
I don't
know. Okay, so you, it's...
Wrestling boom. Reference.
Is that a wrestling reference?
Yes. Macho Man Randy Savage's wife was Elizabeth.
Okay. That's good to know.
So every doe he bred...
That's that what he did at the end? Elizabeth!
Hey, Elizabeth, will you marry me?
So the funny thing about that's that funny. Is...
Remind
like,
me we're going to kill him after
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah.
His body was enormous by the time he was 7.5. Like, I mean, those poor year-and-a-half-old does.
Oh, just, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Kid had a piece on him.
A piece on him. That's funny, though. So, I like, Randy really did, his name is legitimate. Like,
dude, he's a baller. And the thing is he's like a bully, too. Like, he, no matter where we seen him, what he was doing, I mean, 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, he was trying to run every deer.
He's just trying to be the hard ass of the woods, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he kind of, I don't want to say he ruined that side of the farm, but like, any deer with any size
was
like
out of there.
If you were four, and, if they were, if the deer was 4.5, like
chase him, right, he'd chase him right off.
Yeah,
really. Wow. So it's always the case. Like bully bucks are always have like that characteristic of like not being bigger than 140, right?
Yeah. Randy scores like 129.
So he's got a little man complex, is what you're saying.
Little man complex, but
they're big.
But I don't think you realize cool, how big his body is, though. Like, anyways, we'll get into that when I shot him. But yeah. I mean. His back, as a 7.5-year-old, I mean, he was a good foot to 16 inches taller than the year-and-a-half-old buck that was in the field with him.
Really?
I was like, oh, my God.
This is a thick boy.
Oh yeah,
and thick ass bow.
He's so tall,
thick boy.
Like, yeah, he has the longest legs of any deer I've ever seen.
Like, so giraffe. Not just heavy; he's just a bigger deer in general. Yeah, like
his fucking neck is. I was thinking of that picture of him hanging in my garage, and it's 10-foot ceilings.
Yeah, yeah.
And like his rack is touching the like my ceiling, and his hooves are on the ground.
His hooves.
He is heavy, and I'm looking at a trail cam picture of him, and he's just like he's kind of like built like a rodeo bull.
He is.
Oh, Jamie.
Like he's just like.
Let me take a peek.
And when I shot him, I think that the
gas ball. He's all brisket.
I think when I shot him, he had lost. We think he'd lost a good 50 pounds.
No shit.
Fuck. Okay, so.
Because, like, end of October, dude, he was just.
Wore down.
Give me another. End of October,
I'm saying he was like a man.
Oh, really?
He's a 300 plus. Easy.
Yeah, I can see that. So you name Randy. He gets his name. Like, give me next so then encounter.
He kind of just gets shuffled to the back. So that year. We end up killing one of the target deer we're after. Then the next year, like, we had these two other stud deer emerge, and so we're on them. And
deer that you knew?
Yes.
Oh, you knew them? Okay.
So then my brother ends up killing one with a bow. I kill the other one with a gun later, and there again. Randy gets pushed to the side again.
Did you see Randy at all that next year, though?
I mean, I've seen him.
You didn't think nothing of him, though, at the time.
Right. Like, that's the thing. He was big enough, he was old enough, you know, to where you're like, ooh, keep my eye on you.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't big enough antler-wise to be like, eh. And he walked by my brother, and my brother's, I think as a four-year-old, he walked by my brother, and my brother's like, I just can't, I just can't waste my tag on that. And I'm like wanting him to shoot him. I'm like, put him.
Yeah, he's cull him.
As long as you don't have to do it.
He's running bucks out.
This is a buck that's, like, worth culling. You know?
So the thing is from 4.5, just 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, I personally never had an opportunity to shoot him.
No kidding.
No. But I seen him.
But private land's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
So easy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's the time period. Four, like, 3.5, I usually see a ton of them.
Yeah.
But, dude, 4.5 comes, and I have a lot of bucks that just straight 4.5, 5.5 go, like, missing, and then sometimes they show back up at 6.5, and they're like, hey.
Hey, what's up, man? How you been?
I'm just going to start walking around in the day.
Yeah.
Waving at the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here I am.
So, okay. So, Randy is, like, pushed to the wayside.
So, that year, and then the next year, me and my brother both kill bucks, and he gets pushed again. And then the next year, all of a sudden, this deer that I was after the year before that disappeared out of velvet, and then I never had a single velvet picture of him the next year. And then all of a sudden, I'm hunting like mid-October, and his name was Tuna. Because he's like 25 inches wide, but his tines are only like 6 inches tall.
No kidding.
He's an 8-pointer. He's got good brows, and his bases are like pop cans.
No shit.
So, I mean, I basically just dedicated my whole season to that deer.
Yeah, that's a cool buck.
My dad ends up shooting him at like 80 yards with a muzzleloader after being in the stand for 15 minutes. I was happy. I was like, thank God.
Yeah.
That was terrible, too, because my dad's like, hey, I got that. He texts me. He's like, I got that big old wide one that you've been after.
That you've been after.
at like 90 like no yards, yeah. Just feeding. And hey. I was like, yeah, go ahead and kill him.
Yeah.
That one you've been after, yeah, I just shot him.
Yeah, he's dead.
My dad is totally, he's like, well, hold on. And I was like, no, that deer was 8.5.
Oh, no kidding.
I was like, he's 8.5. Kill him now.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, dude, I'm in my blind. I'm packed up. I got everything ready to go. I'm just waiting to open the door, you know, to go try to help him.
Right, right.
And finally I'm waiting, and it's like 1 minute before shooting time, and just and yeah. my dad just texted me, dead. That's all he did. Then he's like, hey, you want the cape? I'm like, no. We're going to mount this deer.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's very worthy of a mount.
He's like, all right. And then I mounted it, and he's like, you know what? He is pretty big.
You got to give me a picture of that buck so I can post it with this episode.
Oh, this yeah, sounds tuna. Just like a story my my old man
would tell. Like no big deal.
Dude, the only,
no big deal.
The only thing that would be better is if that the New Balances that he was wearing at the time were camouflaged because of all the grass cutting stains.
So, no, the worst.
When he shot that deer.
The worst.
They got a little blood on him. He got pissed.
Yeah. It's like, shit, I was going to take your mom to Applebee's wearing these tonight.
Son of a bitch.
So the funniest thing about my dad kind of refuses to hunt until muzzleloader season.
Yeah,
he just that's his thing. He used to bow hunt back in the day, you know, and it's, he just
got not as into it.
Yeah, he'd rather have us shoot him. But anyways, he's in the stand for 15 minutes, gets a phone call, has to go back to his pickup to get some paperwork, makes a phone call, gets back 45 minutes later. 20 minutes later, that deer is dead on the ground.
Oh, I'm like,
dude,
gosh.
You were literally in the stand for 30 minutes. Yeah. He's like, yeah, well, you know, patience.
You know, what he needs. That's the typical dad answer. Well, you know,
when it happens well, like that. I don't waste my time. He goes, oh, you guys have been wasting your time this whole season. All I needed was 30 minutes.
That's exactly what my old man would say. I don't know why you waste your time all season. See, I just do it in 20 minutes. Like, yeah, fuck off.
You cannot tell dads about luck for shit.
You got to take it when it happens like that, though.
Right? Yeah,
it was funny, though. That was a funny story.
So you've been hunting. You've been sitting all day, idiots.
Yeah. I come out here for 20 minutes, yeah. And he's already dead.
All right, so
we're hunting this thing all season. Warm.
Well, we got to know. Like, all right, so how... Is that the best deer that your dad has? Not the biggest, but like what does your dad have other?
So my dad typically that's his forte. Like when they get so old that me and my brother have a hard time killing them, it's just like they know, man. They just know. They're like, yep, it's my time, you know, and they
just walk right out in front of it.
At eight and a half, they just walk over to my dad.
They're just standing on that field edge and like, well, he's in the blind tonight. It's my time.
Just two old boys out
just
there.
Just walk out there.
Yep. You going to pull the trigger or not, old man?
Well, they're eating that acorn. Like, they got a little deer tear rolling down their eye. Like, this is the last time I've ever eat these acorns and head to the soybean field. So
the funny thing is, it's a lot of times, I mean, and it might not be a thing, but it seems like sometimes when you, at least when I've done it, like you shoot a big mature deer and like if there's other deer in the field, sometimes if it's like an instant thing, like where they just drop like a sack of potatoes, I feel like it is. It's like a mourning process.
Oh, yeah.
Where like all the deer come back out and they're like, is he really dead?
The king's dead.
Yeah. They come over and like sniff him a little bit. Like,
they're super
hey,
happy
because
they're like, finally that asshole's dead. That's why I always heard that.
Hey, Ned, quit, wake up. We're out of here.
Somebody always told me the
Eugene,
only people
we
that,
gotta go.
This chick I used to date, she told me that the only people that are going to show up to my funeral is the people that want to make sure I'm actually dead. So there could be.
It could be, man.
There could be something to that, but yeah, hey, you know, them old bucks, you never know.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
Steve will be one of them.
So tell me, Colt, God damn it. When did Randy become like
on the radar?
It's time for Randy.
So yeah. So I feel like when he
it's
was
time for Randy.
It's Randy time.
It's Randy's time.
Because Randy had to die.
He shook up the eight ball right before he went hunting. Should I shoot Randy? And yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I wanna say the year before I'm trying to think. Oh, so after tuna, and the next year, I kind of get on this one deer that, like I said, has a 3.5 and a 4.5. He just ghosted, and then 5.5. He showed up like late winter, like January 1st.
That's not so bad.
And I get pictures of it, and I instantly know what deer it is. Find his shed. And then, I mean, I jumped him like 3 times between, I mean, probably January 1st and like March 31st. So like I know exactly where you're wintering.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So then pick up a shed. So then the next year I'm like, I'm going to plant this food plot specifically for this deer. Moved a blind in, had to take the dozer and knock the hill off and make a flat spot for it and everything. And I'm like, this is it. Well, then anyways, it goes on, and I mean, had a few encounters with that deer, and then my brother ends up shooting him right out of that blind on that food plot, so it worked perfect, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just wasn't you.
Perfect scenario. It just wasn't me. Right. It's not a big deal. But now as a...
Is your brother an asshole?
No, he's not.
Okay.
We
can talk to me after.
No. We get along pretty good.
You can tell the real story after the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, because fuck him, right? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know your brother. I'm sure he's a great dude.
No, he's a good guy.
Knowing you, he's probably real handsome, so.
Thanks.
Is he married?
Yeah, he's
married. Is his wife a doctor?
I was just going to ask the same fucking thing.
She's not a doctor, but we...
Not as good, so.
We look a lot alike. We actually get the confused.
Oh, she's not a really doctor. Twin she's a thing, vet.
But we like get.
She's a brain surgeon. So.
People that don't know
yeah.
us very well, but I get called Blake a lot. He gets called Cole a lot. So.
Okay.
But
we'll get
anyways,
into your brother later.
So then the next year, and then. So that's not this last season, but the season before.
Mm-hmm.
That deer gets killed, and then all of a sudden I'm like kind of going through the motions, and I'm like, who's next?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm like, it's Randy's time.
It's Randy. Oh.
Like,
so Goldberg asked, who's next?
So, I mean, we get together that, you know, early fall, the hang stands. And so we get together that early fall, and my brother's like, you know, who are we going to try to, who's number one? I was like, dude, we got to put that deer on number one. And, like, we got to kill him early. Yeah. He's going
to push
gonna
everybody
up. Everything. Yeah, he's going to fuck everything up.
Yeah, so, just a bully buck, like, to the definition.
And he grew his best rack at 7.5.
which is even better.
Because the year before, dude, he was only a 7-pointer, and he had, like, a club on that one end, which was kind of neat. But
do you have any sheds of Randy?
Oh, yeah, all of them.
Really? You have all of them?
Almost.
God, you should have brought those with you.
So my brother found 4 of them, and I found... 2 of them, I believe.
So your brother is better than you. Okay.
Ooh. Okay. Noted. Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
So that's another funny joke is because when I shot him, he's like, dude, that's literally like the only deer that I have sheds to. That's the only one.
Is that how your brother sounds?
Yeah, a little bit.
What's funny is like that's the only deer he has sheds to, but it's kind of like for... I we got to respect the animal, of course, like which is why we're doing the... We're painting the picture of Randy, but just not a... A very not a specimen of a genetic deer.
Oh no,
to be respectful.
Oh no, oh no. He says,
"Were you like, I'll take those sheds now."
I did.
Do you have them all?
I don't yet. I mean, he's agreed to give them to me, but when he shot his like, oh, that deer was like 153-inch 8. I had both sides, and I mean, like he shot him in like 2 hours. So he's like, "Let me get them sheds." I was like, "All right."
All right. Just remember this. Yeah. Remember this, because we come back and bite you in the ass someday. Down.
But you, so, yeah. but you two, note. As a collective, are shooting some studs.
Right. So, okay. I mean, between me, my brother, and my dad, in the last, I think we just figured this out the other day. Like 15 years, killed like 18 bucks. And only 2 of them are 4.5, and the rest are all 5.5 plus.
It's impressive.
That is very impressive.
So what are the exact coordinates of where you hunt?
No, I'm not going to give that to you. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're an Iowa boy now. Don't matter.
You couldn't figure it out anyway.
Yeah, you're in the wrong state anyways. You just bait them in. That's not a big deal.
Hey, whoa.
Easy.
Let me ask you. Have you ever caught a giant bass with just a plain hook in the water?
Probably.
Bullshit. I'm talking shit.
God damn it.
Anyway, it's continue. Fun.
But, like, Randy finally makes it onto the list. And then we get pictures of Curly. And then we get pictures of 2 other deer. And the 2 other deer, well, one's a 4-year-old and one's a 5.5-year-old.
Maybe that's why Randy was always a big bully, because he was never on the list. You know, he was just pissed because he wasn't on the list.
Hey, motherfuckers, can you kill me yet?
Yeah. Can you just put me on the list this year?
But
yeah.
He was, like, extremely elusive. Like, he was a smart deer.
Well, he wasn't getting dumber every year, too, you know?
And he lived primarily over on what's now my uncle's part of the estate. And my cousin's husband, he hunts that piece. And, I mean, he's got pictures of Randy for, I mean... 2.5 till the day he died. Like, pretty religiously, and I almost like I'm, and we're all good friends, and yeah. So like I wanted Nick to kill this deer so bad, and then right. I killed Curly, and then like, you know, obviously I stopped hunting for a little, you know, a couple weeks just because.
Well, you just killed a 170-inch deer. You can you deserve to kick back a little bit,
right? I just kind of relax a little bit. And Nick ends up missing Randy with a bow at 30 yards. Shit. And I'm just, like, I'm almost, like, devastated for him. I'm like, fuck. And then
he missed him clean.
Yeah, clean miss. You know, he calls me in the stand. He's like, dude, I just shot Randy. I think I might have missed. And I was like, well, so what the hell shoot did him he do?
I shot Randy, but I missed.
Yeah.
He's shot at Randy.
Great shot, but it didn't hit the mark.
He's like, he made a great big, you know, grunt afterwards. I'm like a death roar? Like, did he death roar?
Yeah.
Because if he death roared, you killed him.
Right.
He's like, I don't know, there's deer everywhere. And like,
he's on the phone.
You gotta know Nick. He just like, he gets so excited. And I'm like, you just need to calm down. When you got a chance, get down, get your arrow, and see if there's anything on it.
Yeah.
He texts me like 50 minutes later, clean miss, back up in the stand. Looking for him again.
Looking for him again.
Randy's out there.
Yeah, Randy lives.
Randy's out there and he's pissed.
He's pissed.
Randy is out there.
But then at this point, I'm like, you know, then I mean, basically got this deer pinned down, you know, so I'm trying to get my brother in there and I'm still trying to go to this other property and do something. But it just kind of just never happened. Like after that, he was a straight ghost. And I didn't hunt the farm very much.
After your cousin missed him, he was a straight ghost?
Yeah. I mean, nobody seen him until...
Randy's like, I'm out.
I mean, that's typical big mature buck, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
They get a lick of trouble, they're gone.
It's impressive.
Gone like a fart in the wind.
Super impressive. I think people... You know, I don't... It's not always the case. They're not always gone. But sometimes it's safe to assume that because it makes you cautious on your next move, mm-hmm. especially after a deer is already, like, kind of on you.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, Creepy, I spooked him, like, almost a week. No. It would have been a couple weeks before I killed him. He winded me, like, blew up me and everything. I was like, I'll never see that deer again.
Yep.
I literally thought that. I was like, oh, he's gone.
Sometimes when they blow at you, though, it's because they don't. They can't figure it out.
I kind of feel I was in that position with him a bit, but I thought he might have caught my wind. It was a quartering wind. It was tough. I gambled with that.
He might have caught your wind, but he just couldn't figure out what you exactly were, maybe.
It could be.
I don't know.
He didn't run out of there like a bat out of hell. He kind of like ran and stood there and was kind of like, what the fuck?
Probably that sand pressure, you know?
Yeah. That's right.
You know, honestly, I don't care what anybody says. Maybe. And it helped that other deer in the area, too. Other deer in the area that were not spooked by me that were also downwind, for the record.
Yeah. That was the best thing about that deer, that my bow kill. Like, dude, straight downwind, no clue.
Yeah.
It's no idea.
Just whammy.
You feel like a ninja when that happens.
Dude, and it just happened, and everything busted, and the does came right back on.
Dude, I had a buck the first time I saw Creepy and almost had a shot at him. A buck moved past me and got far enough away from me, and Creepy was watching him, and I went, burp. Actually, I did one of these. I'll see, I have my sound bite, but the shit locks. I hit him with one of these. Well, see, here I'm failing again as a DJ. Hit him with one of them.
Ooh,
and
that again? Just a little guy?
You know,
or
what?
Just
guy.
A little. Just a little. Just a yeah. Subtle.
A little toot.
A subtle toot. A little toot toot.
A little toot toot.
And it got him, Creepy looked up. And was, like, looking past my tree, because it was kind of, like, open where I was at, and could see that other buck.
Did you know the other buck is behind you?
Yeah, I watched him work past me, because Creepy pushed him off.
Oh.
And then he circled around me. I was like, oh, this is good, live decoy. But I was like, that deer was downwind. But I knew that deer, the deer was, like, kind of doing his thing. He was kind of freaked out by Creepy. So I was like, oh, this is my time. And then Creepy looks up, and he's like, oh, motherfucker wants to play again, huh? So then he kind of started, like, balling up, working my way. Yeah. So it was
tough. The best.
It was cool.
Best decoy is live decoy.
That's right.
Heard that.
It was a tricky move. It was a risky move.
But and it worked.
It worked.
It worked out like almost
like,
2 weeks
later. I like to just, like, if you get a smaller buck in, I like to let him do that. Kind of like work past you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just try your calling out.
See if it's going to work or not. Oh, yeah, yep. For sure.
That's the best way to do it, man.
On that buck? Or are you saying just like...
As oh, a, no, I'm just saying in general. Yeah, you know?
In general.
For sure. Say you got a buck that gets out of sight and you know you weren't going to shoot him anyways and just see if you can call him back and he's going to come into shooting range. You know?
Oh, you do that? I have like a thing against that.
Oh, really?
You want to hear my method against that?
What's that?
My thoughts against it? You're educating him.
Well, I know, but...
So when
sometimes you get bored, you just want
to sometimes I like
something.
To have fun.
I never do that, dude. Never ever.
Oh, I mean, I don't do it to every buck.
I know.
Sometimes, like if I got like a 3-year-old that's like a long ways away, and I just hit him with a little grunt,
or maybe you just gotta make sure your grunt call's working.
Maybe hit him with
test
something.
It out.
Well, yeah, and that too. Like every time I grunt, I feel like I don't sound like a deer.
I want to see if he comes like, back. You know, I want to see like, what he really
like,
looks
like. Do I
like,
sound
you know?
Like a deer or do I not sound like a deer?
Yeah.
You got to test it out.
You're just like last year I had like a three.
I'm a firm believer in you cannot scare a deer with a deer sound.
I disagree with that.
I had like a 3.5
We can agree to disagree.
Across. Rattling? Ooh.
Yeah. If you rattle when they're right under you, yeah, you're going to fuck them up.
Hold on.
But if they cannot see you and they cannot smell you and you rattle. Think back. I don't. They're either gonna be like,
I don't.
I disagree with that.
With women, that's. I'm gonna go biologically with women. That's cap because girls say hi to each other, and I say hi to them, and they run off. So I'm gonna assume that. It depends on how you grunt. Like, does your grunt sound fucking creepy?
Yeah, you got to work on your call.
Right.
I mean, like, are you grunting like?
You have to work
I'm
on
120
your
call. I'm a button buck, but I think I'm better than I am. So
hit them with that.
Hitting them with that.
It's all about the emotion that you put behind it.
You know what I like to hit them with?
He needs some milk.
That's what I like to throw at
him. That's a throwback right there.
Dude, the best deer that anybody ever shoots, it's like, I can't call him in, man. They're not looking. He needs the milk. They look and boom.
Yeah, I'm just like.
Double lung.
I hit him with this and follow up with a.
He needs some milk.
And then I follow up with a.
Can you imagine
a double at the end? That's
can you imagine being a giant buck?
Very
like,
finesse,
dude. Thanks. You're like I was running the timber, and then the next thing I know, I'm up here at St. Peter. Well, if you're Catholic at St. Peter,
because I know I need some milk.
They're like, "What was the last thing you heard? He needs some milk." And then all of a sudden, I couldn't catch my breath. that was the last thing I remember.
It hurted.
I took off, and then here I am.
So,
why this
going back to Randy? We went on a hiatus.
We did a little bit,
but it was fun. It was all about deer, so it was okay. Randy has made the shit list.
He basically did, and then but then this year I felt like we needed to kill him before because we had so many really good young deer.
You were worried about him like fucking him up or pushing him off, or
I was honestly. More worried about him and this year, Curly.
Yeah.
So in previous years, if this deer would have gave you the opportunity, would you have taken it?
I think I would have, yes.
You would
have have that mentality that if my basic rule is 5.5, that's it. Like, I'm trying to kill you.
Right.
And it doesn't matter to me whether they're 125-incher or they're 170.
Sure.
Right. Yeah,
but, you know,
it's a mature deer. It's a mature deer,
right?
You know, like my dad's probably not going to shoot that deer until the last day of the season. Same thing with my brother might not do that, and it's just a difference. And
it no different than what anybody else would do. Like right. Everybody gets what you're saying, yeah.
Right? But no, he just kind of eluded me more than anybody. Like my brother had several encounters with him, and. I mean, I was honestly hoping that either him or Nick were gonna kill him eventually,
so you wouldn't have to use your tag.
Well, that's the thing too. You know, it's a wild animal; it can walk anywhere. It's all by chance. Sure. Like you know, there's a lot of strategy and everything that goes into play, and you do everything you can to put the odds in your favor. But it doesn't always have to work out in your favor.
At the end of the day, that deer is gonna do whatever the fuck that deer wants
to
do.
Right,
exactly.
You'd be like, he did this for the last 3 days. I went and hung a stand. I put in the work. Here I am, and then he just.
Up.
goes the other way when he gets out of his bed or something, and you never see him.
Yep.
That's maybe a beautiful thing about it.
Maybe a coyote comes by and bumps him.
That's
maybe.
What makes it so amazing.
Or he just took a different path that day. You never know what the hell happened.
Yeah, he got a whiff of some taint, and he went the other way.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, I get this.
Hey.
Actual taint or deer taint?
Well, deer taint, of course. Deer taint,
okay. Oh, whatever. If he caught
so close human, together.
That is actual taint for him.
If he caught human taint, he's one way. If
you know the reason why I say that is way. One of the guys I grew up hunting with, he'd always be like, that's how he referenced, like, if a deer was on a doe. Like, he'd be like, yeah, he was trying to get him some taint, and he went after. Like, it was just funny. Like, you know the old Chappelle show? He's like,
yeah.
There's a skit anyway.
Yeah, I know that one.
I just thought it was funny. Like, that's how it, jokingly he referred to it as that. So it's just. It's kind of like if you know the term, it's like, ah, yikes. But
first
if you don't, it's funny.
Yeah, first time I heard taint, I used to watch skateboard videos. And when a dude fell off a rail, it's like, oh, he busted his taint. I'm like, oh, thank God his balls and butthole were saved. He only busted taint.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but hearing that as a deer reference, that's
fucking hilarious. Oh, it's hilarious, yeah.
Oh, it's fucking great.
But anyways, I get this deer killed early.
Curly.
November 2nd.
Right, yep.
And, like, I felt really good about it. And, you know, talking to my brother and talking to Nick, I'm like, all right, it's your guys' time. Get in there.
Curly's up.
Randy's up.
On the
get plate. In there and kill him.
Do you feel that Randy would have pushed Curly out?
I do.
Yeah, that makes sense. How old is Curly?
5 1/2.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I can see that.
He might. I mean... He'd be a slammer of a
four. He'd be a slammer of a 4.5.
Oh, yeah, I think he's 5.5.
169, 170-inch buck.
Yeah. So, and I was not expecting to even, I mean, I knew that deer was in that area, but I was not expecting him to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Just right down the plank. But, I mean, I had another 5.5-year-old deer in the same area. Like, it was, and then, so then the night that I killed Curly, So this is probably 2 months later. I finally pull this camera. It's right on the back side of this stand. It's only like 75 yards away, but I cannot see it. Big ridge, and then it really drops off.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, who was standing there at like, I can't remember what time I killed that deer. It was like 5 o'clock. But at like right around that time, like 5:30, Randy was standing in front of that camera. So I had a 5.5-year-old 8-pointer that was pushing does, and then Randy on the back side of this ridge, and then Curly walked right down the plank and I shot him. But I had all three of them deer within 100 yards.
No kidding.
Jesus.
Woof.
They're just mixing up with each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just the right time, you know.
It's like a high pressure day or something.
That happens probably once a year.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, where all them deer get in there together and say, hey,
right spot, right
this
time.
This is my shit.
Yeah.
You guys ever think about that? Like, I wonder if anything's walking the next ridge over.
Like all the your time. Other stands?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Like, man, is there something walking by that stand right now?
All the time.
Have you since...
Hey, you can't think about that shit, though.
You can't.
Since he killed Curly and Randall, the macho man, Randy Savage, a cup of coffee, yeah.
Sir Randy.
Show him some respect. Starting to like Sir Randy.
Did he get sworn in, or what do you call that with a fucking sword?
Yeah, that's being knighted, but where Randy Savage actually was King of the Ring, so he was Macho King Randy Savage, and he went on commentary with Gorilla Monsoon and Vince McMahon. Anyway, that's not beside the point. Your trail cameras this year, have you noticed any new bucks since Randy's been gone?
I got one deer that's kind of emerging.
Kind of emerging. What's
he kind of put on a lot of inches, but...
Oh. Do you have any bucks that look like Randy?
Yes.
Ooh. Are his jeans... Ooh. Are Randy's jeans still around?
So he was the bully.
That's
that had
the
a,
question.
One thing Randy did do is he spread a lot of seed.
He's ever known here?
Okay. So he wasn't
the
just
kids are more assholes than their parents, right?
Yeah, lots that's a fact.
Stuff. So he was not running deer out because he didn't like them. He had an ulterior motive.
No, he had the motive. Like that's the deer motive.
I'm number one. I'm number one.
Motherfucker was thinking about deer taint all day.
Punana.
It's funny because we'll get like a picture of a year and a half old buck, and they're like, straight up and got like four tines, and their brow tines are longer than their whole main beam. And like
Randy,
between all of us, we'll send them to each other and be like, Randy.
Randy's legend lives on.
That's pretty, it sucks, I think, for your farm, but it's pretty hilarious.
Oh, it's funny as shit.
Randy. So we already got Randy, too. He's coming up. He's Randy, a three-year-old this year.
RJ?
It's RJ. Sure one of his
RJ. Randy Jr.
Yeah, he's RJ.
That's why I started calling him
he's
RJ.
Freaking pissed.
Yeah. Is it for sure one of his offspring?
Dude.
Undeniable.
Undeniable.
You got to kill him.
Should kill him right now.
You know, it's just going to give you a freaking headache in the next couple years.
Man. Get a kid in there. Get a kid in there to shoot him.
That's what it should do.
It'd be cool.
The problem is they probably like his dad. Just elusive motherfucker.
Just pissed off.
Yeah. How old's Nash?
Not old enough yet. He's four. He's been really, really asking, though.
Oh, really?
Like, lately.
Okay. Well,
how cool would it be if you had Randy and RJ on the same wall, though?
Would be sweet.
Your boy's got to kill him. Because think by the time,
he'll be like 9 and a half and he'll be ready to kill.
Yeah.
So what perfect. Year did you kill Randy?
Just this last year.
Oh, okay. Last
season. So
19.
So give us in, walk us in. You kill Curly. You're getting in there. Randy is up to bat.
Right. So then my cousin's husband, Nick, he ends up missing him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I basically stayed out of timber because I took the opportunity. I mean, and I don't want to say I wanted my brother or Nick to kill him, but I really, they have had so many more encounters with him than I had had.
Yeah.
Just because I was stuck on different deer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understandable.
And so I really, it's not like I was giving him a shot, but I just kind of stayed out of timber, and I was just kind of looking for the next big one.
Right.
And
trying to see your next move.
And then also I was trying to hunt that other property. So I didn't hunt at all for season shotgun. I just sat it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my wife was happy about that.
Yeah,
of course.
Probably
the first time I've ever done that.
And then, well, you just kill a 170-inch whitetail.
Yeah. Well, and of course I killed that deer. She's like, you done? I was like, no.
Isn't it funny how, like, you kill, even though how much we love to hunt, you kill the whitetail and you're like, I can chill.
I could do it again.
Even though you should just go hunting because you don't get to do it all year, but it's kind of like, it's your way of, like, giving back to your family a little bit so you're in brownie points. So in a couple weeks when you get that itch again, you're back at it.
What was the first buck you killed last year?
I didn't kill my first buck till November, like, between like the 7th and 9th. I can't remember.
Yeah, because I remember calling you that day, and I had a question about a truck camera that we were doing, and I called you, and I was like, hey, because I know you'd kill the buck that morning. It's like, hey, dude, I got a little bit of a question about this. It's like, yeah, well, I'm just gearing up to get back in the stand. I'm like, didn't you fucking kill a deer this morning?
And, oh, yeah. Forgot yeah. about that. I do remember. I was walking through a field.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the moment that it was like, oh, this motherfucker's no joke.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. A lot of Illinois guys, two tags in your pocket. Iowa guys, you'd been celebrating. You killed a pretty nice buck, and you were already getting back in the stand. So when I called you, I'm like, hey, I got a question. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're like, I got to let you go figure this out. I'm trying to hang a stand. Like, dude, you fucking killed this morning. He goes, yeah, I'm going after this deer. How bad do you want it?
Yeah, I think I was probably trying to set up on Creepy.
And that's it. That's exactly who you were set up on.
Damn.
You literally said, oh, how bad do you want it? Like, what the fuck is going through this fucking dude's head that
a lot of guys, the only thing you like is deer hunting.
Yeah, it was one of those moments that I don't think I've ever really talked about this, or we never talked about this.
I forgot about it until you just now.
It was a moment in, like, side text, you know, podcast and shit aside. This was a text between two individuals, and I really realized where his fucking heart was at and where I wanted to be. It was one of those weird things that I go, okay, who in the fuck kills a nice deer? And it was like, well, I'm still setting up on the second one. That was a wild thing, and I think a lot of people can want to get to that point,
mm-hmm.
you know, or want to relate. And, you know, by all means, if you have minutes during the day where if you got two tags and you spend 60 minutes of the day and you kill a good deer, now you have this many minutes left in the day where you can kill another fucking deer. And that's where your mind was, and that always fascinated the fuck out of me. It was weird.
That's year by year, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it all depends on what you got and, like, what your mindset is. Like, Creepy's on my mind. Just like Randy was like.
Exactly.
So, actually, you know, Creepy and Randy are kind of, like, similar.
It's a very similar story.
Creepy kind of popped into something kind of cool, you know, the last year. But,
yeah.
But, anyway, thanks for that, Steve. I forgot about that. That's kind of funny. I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about until you started telling the story.
And it was hard for me. It was kind of hard for me to, like, sit on the sidelines. But I was.
Just for a little bit, though.
But I knew. It'd been a struggle for me, like the couple years leading up to this, and I was just finally glad to get back on set, and I just made a bullseye shot on him.
On Curly?
Yeah, and it was just I just felt so good about it, so yeah. I was like,
I'm just gonna stud. Is that your biggest whitetail?
No.
He's not?
Uh-uh.
What's your biggest whitetail, quick, before we get back to Randy? We keep going off this hiatus.
76 inch 10.
That's impressive.
Net Boone.
Net. Wow.
Probably in that book you got out there.
It was Wisconsin buck?
No, but I took the Wisconsin Deer Classic. Or is that only Wisconsin?
I think those are only Wisconsin shot deer.
Oh, it's not all-time stuff?
No, I have an all-time book.
Mine's just current year. You only made current year, but you didn't make all-time.
Oh, right.
It takes 175 to make all-time.
That's true. Fuck, I forgot about that.
So it's
all right. It's okay. It's all right. Still a stud.
Still a fucking giant.
He's a good, awesome. That deer is kind of the same. So that's the only other deer.
No,
that
I thought 65 was all time.
I'm pretty sure it's 75.
Continue. I'll pull it up.
Anyways, so that deer is kind of the same sort of like time lapse as Randy. 2.5 to 7.5. Like every year, tons of sheds. Same sort of deal. But anyways, we like all November passes. I go down for second shotgun season down to that other property, and it's like warm.
Yeah,
it's bad. Like it's just really, really poor hunting weather, and the farm is so overgrown, and I'm hanging and hunting.
Yeah,
just a shit show.
And I'm doing. Something I used to do a lot, which is just run by the seat of my pants, but I've since had 3 kids, and you know,
it's tougher.
I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm 30, and I'm like,
you're not as nimble.
Holy shit,
nimble!
Like this is kicking my ass,
right?
And then I get back, and I still have a tag to go down south, and on like I think the first day my brother sat on this food plot where it's typically, I mean, muzzleloader season, we got 2, you know, destination feed fields, and you can just about count on in muzzleloader season 1 good deer getting killed out of one of those.
Yeah, sure.
And he sat Friday, and I was like, hey, I called him. I was like, hey, kind of getting the itch to get back on the farm. And he's like, nope. Totally understand. He's like, you got it. The rest of the time. He's like, I got a lot of shit to do Saturday and Sunday anyways. I'm like, all right.
All right. It's all mine. I'm going after it.
So then Saturday comes, and, dude, it's big cold front. Right moon phase. Like, everything's coming together.
Like, the stars are aligning just perfect.
And I was talking to Nick that night before, and I was like, Randy gonna come. He's gonna come to this field.
Randy's coming in.
Oh, Randy.
And he's like, yep. I haven't got a picture of him in a long time. Like, he's on that side of the farm.
Things are adding up.
And he always did. He always started on this side of the farm, and then as it got colder, and he got off the rut. He just worked his way to the food. And it just happened that he never did it when I was sitting on the food. Because I typically don't. I typically don't sit on the food. I let my dad and my brother sit on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I go sit in a bush.
Right.
But anyway, so
sit in a bush.
I get in there like 1:30, and dude, it's like 2:30 in the afternoon. And there's like 3-year-olds on the field. I'm like, oh boy,
looking good.
It's gonna be a good night.
Looking good.
He gonna die today.
Yeah, you had that feeling, huh?
I did.
You can learn, dude. Today.
Sometimes it hits you, you know.
I think since like, you know, 8, 10 o'clock that morning, I had that feeling. I'm like, he's gonna come.
He's coming.
Sometimes you got it, man. Sometimes you feel it. Isn't that funny?
I'm just like, I'm gonna get out there at 1:30 and I'm gonna wait.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna fuck him up.
It's aggressive. It's over with.
I mean, I was like, it's it. Like, he's done.
You feel that's cool. You feel the confidence. You just sometimes you know.
You just and know then, Randy's gonna step out.
And then it was weird, dude. Like 4 o'clock, maybe a little bit before that, dude. Like 15 deer that have been in that field just kind of clear, and it's totally empty at 4 o'clock. I'm like, what is going on?
Right.
And then I get a little spike that comes out, and he's feeding at the back of the field. And then I just see this fucking giraffe come out of the corner. And I'm like, he walks to the edge of the field, and he just turns and looks straight at the blind. And I'm like, that's fucking Randy.
There he
and
is.
I just, I mean, I didn't even hesitate. Grab my gun. I get my window down. Get the gun out the window.
You're getting ready for Randy.
And he's just feeding, head down. I'm like, and I mean, I got the crosshairs on him. I ranged it 150 yards. And probably more than any other year, I shot my muzzleloader. Because I have had previous years where I've had nothing but trouble.
Well, that and you killed a 170-inch whitetail with your bow. Like
right. So prior. I shot my muzzleloader more than I ever have. And I get it on him. And, dude, I was like deadlocked on him. And I was like, I just, like, pulled off. I was like, should I just let him feed? Maybe he'll feed closer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
maybe
I had, like, kind of second-guessing this.
I had, like, a zen moment, and I was like, no, fuck that. Like, this is the first time I've seen this deer in 3 years. Like, he's fucking dying right now.
It's like a movie where you're looking through the sight, but then all of a sudden you have this vision.
Yeah,
yeah.
And all of a sudden it comes back, and you're still looking through the sight. You're like, yeah, fuck that.
So I put it on him, and the funny thing is I always shoot my deer, like, I always shoot big deer with a gun right in the fucking shoulder.
Right, yeah.
I always do it.
You're not worrying about penetration with
it. And my old man.
You're wanting them to drop.
Like, you don't know why, you just do it.
I like to take the wheels out.
Yeah, I hear you. That's what I did with my mule deer. It's the first deer I ever shot with a rifle. I put it right on his ass, like right on it, right in the where you don't shoot with a bow.
Oh yeah.
Well, so my dad always rips my ass. He's like, "Why you shoot him in the shoulder? All you got to do is aim 6 inches back, take their lungs out, and they're dead." And it's like he was in the blind with me. Just
he's talking. So you got that another vision coming out.
Aim back a little. So I did. I aimed back a little bit, and I fucking pulled the trigger, and he runs closer. It echoed off the back of the timber, and he ends up running closer.
Oh, no kidding.
And, dude, he just stands at, like, 60 yards. And I'm like, I had, like, a little moment. I was like, oh, my God. So then I start reloading.
Yeah, you got to do the reload.
And it's always a motherfucker when you're in the moment.
Did you have the quick reloads?
I mean, mine aren't pricey. I mean, they aren't fancy.
You know what I'm talking about? The quick reloads?
Just the plastic tubes. Thing?
Yeah, with powder in one end. And,
oh, yeah.
So I get... I get it, and I don't have a funnel or nothing. So, I mean, I always just use my hand. And I get it about halfway, and I'm fucking shaking so bad that half the
powder.
Are
you shooting loose powder?
Yeah, I shoot loose powder.
Shit, I shoot the pellets.
I shoot the pellets. You run three in those babies, run it hot, son.
Fucking A.
120 grains of black horn, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
So right, I get you it, hear the thump, thump.
I get it halfway in there, and I got the shakes so bad, I dump some of it out, and I'm like,
you got half the powder in there.
So then I end up grabbing my gun, I dump it over and clean it out. So then I grab my other reload, I put it in, and I get it in there, and then I got back on him, and dude, he's still just standing there. And I happen to glance out, and there's the other 160-inch 5-year-old standing in the field.
What?
Oh, no.
He ran into the field. He was with him.
Thoughts of the bracket all of a sudden start popping into your head?
No, sir.
Oh, my
no
God. Thoughts of the bracket, way. Bro.
Fuck that.
Bro, I used to be a postman. I know how I can get around the fucking law.
So anyways, I finally get, oh, I mean, man. It is just a clusterfuck. And I get back on him, and I put it right on his shoulder that time, and I just hammer him, and he stumbles like 10 feet and keels over. Then he starts picking his head up, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to have to put three in him. So I get reloaded again, and I get back on him, and he finally lays back
down. So you hit him the first time?
Was the first one?
Yes.
Oh, you did. I say, was that a clean miss or not?
No.
He's double lunged him. Oh, liver.
I shot him in the liver the first time.
Oh, way back.
And, dude, this is how tough this fucking deer is. I shot him in the liver and did not get a pass through.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
His liver is just like... This deer drank liquor, didn't he?
Because I shot him on...
He's a thick old boy.
Yeah, he's just that fat-bodied.
He's just thick.
And then the second time, yeah. I mean...
Did you put it on the shoulder the second time?
Like, the shock that deer took from both those bullets, because neither one of them had a pass through. Like, even that second one...
So he just absorbed it.
Oh, my God. His internals were just...
Destroyed.
Yes.
Abolished. Basically. Gelatin. Like, man, old Randy, he's a legend.
The best picture is when I first shot him, and he's still got his guts in him. Like, he literally looks like a steer.
Yeah.
I sent you that picture, didn't I?
See a heifer?
Let me check. Yeah, I'm sure you did.
It's me standing behind him, and I mean, that deer, the best part was when he came into the field.
No, right? I don't. Oh, this one, the nighttime photo?
Yeah.
Dude, he is
Jesus.
I'll use this one as cover art, because.
I mean, I'm not a big guy, but. I'm 175 pounds, you know, and that deer's
yeah,
deer is a tank.
Okay, so this one's being used as cover art. It's kind of awkward.
And you're not even
listen.
long arm.
No, your arm's bent.
See, it was hard. That's why I was so bent. It's because, like, Nick came out, and he was taking pictures, and I had to, like, take breaks.
You're like, hurry up, hurry
because,
up, hurry
because
up.
Because his head was so, I mean, his head
I'm surprised
so
you
much.
Shooting him in muzzleloader season that he was that worn down still. Well, I guess it's not too far after the rut. It's so, the weekend after second firearm season.
What are you
season.
Saying? That he's too I didn't understand what you said.
What I'm saying is, like, I'm surprised he wasn't skinnier, like, wore out from the rut.
Oh, no, you should have seen that. Fat bastard about a month before that.
Is this?
We think that in that picture that he lost 50 to 75 pounds.
I believe that,
since
yeah.
October.
Is this not you? This has to be top five favorite deer. If this is not your number one favorite deer that you've ever shot.
It's not my number one, but he is top five.
Like, but great
He's
memories.
Probably
not
even
size.
Like top
I'm not
three.
Talking size. I'm talking memories.
Top two?
No.
Give me a live weight estimation from when you shot him.
I don't know, and that's why I'm investing in a good scale.
You want me to... I'll throw my guess at him, and you let me know, because you handled him. That must be my daughter over there knocking on the door.
She wants in.
You guys just understand, when you hear a little girl yelling in the background, it's just my daughter from here on out.
I don't know. We think they're
Randy's
field dress...
320.
320
live
weight.
Live weight, yeah.
I'd say that's close.
The Geyer buck, dude, was like... I can't remember what he was dressed. Well, dude, I don't know. This is the biggest body deer I've ever seen. But the buck that, if you go to our reels on Instagram, the buck that I cover, I call it my G3 buck. He was
You got a G3 buck, too?
I'll show you. He's got a weird kicker off his three.
That was the name of my booner.
He's a
G3 buck.
Really?
Yep.
He was 280 dressed, and he had a leg injury, so I thought he lost some weight.
Wowzers. With a leg injury.
Yeah. I don't know if that adds to it or not, whoa. But dude, this buck's 300 pounds.
He had a bum leg.
Yeah, yeah. Randy's 300 pounds.
Oh,
I bet
easily.
The thing was, it's like he came in with that spike was right in front of him, and I literally just look out in the field, and his back is at least a foot higher, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
You can see that whole spike underneath his belly.
So tell me about, like, so Randy, the legend of Randy is the book has been closed. But tell me, like, the feelings. Like, Randy's dead. Like, what's going through your head right now?
So I obviously, I mean, I call my dad. I call my brother. I text my brother. I was like, hey, Randy just took a dirt nap. And he's like, sweet. Congratulations. That's
sweet.
Awesome, dear.
Like, great.
Just gives you a
good for you.
Up.
And, like, I didn't want to. honestly, he was so much on that other side of the farm. I didn't even want to tell Nick. Because I knew how much he wanted to kill that deer. And he's been letting a lot of good deer go.
Yeah.
And I felt like, I was like, I hope he gets a shot.
Especially when he missed at him the first
time. Oh, dude. Like, I knew it was going to be call sour.
You have to call him and tell him or text him and be like, hey, you know, Randy, yeah, I just kind of shot him.
So
I just kind of shot him. He's kind of dead.
He's kind of
laying right here.
He texts me and he's like,
kind of over with.
He's like, you shoot? And I was like, I just texted him back. I'm sorry. That's all I said.
He knew right away.
Yeah, he knew. And then he met me at the truck, and he's like, yep, let's go.
You got to see Randy.
The funniest part is that I gutted both of my deer this year with his knife.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a great move.
He's your neighbor.
Just pour some salt on the wounds right there.
Yeah.
Nah, he's good. We all hunt together.
That's cool, man.
And you know what? We haven't always. We've had some...
back and forth.
Yeah, we've had some animosity. You know,
yeah.
But with family issues.
Right. And with,
it happens.
With people shooting deer that other people didn't think. But I feel like now more than ever, we're between me, my brother, Nick, my other cousin, my dad's always, he ain't shooting it unless it's about to die anyways. So, but for the most part, we're all on the same page. And I mean, it's kind of starting to.
Very cool.
Take life because we got some slammers coming up.
Yeah. Very
that's
cool.
Good.
That's
good.
Awesome when you can get on a plan like that, man. That's,
yeah, and all work together.
Yeah, that's kind of like the mission, right?
Like I feel like it's like a dick measuring contest, you know, where like everybody's finally killed enough big deer. We're like, all right.
We can get along now. We're on the same level.
Yeah. That's the thing. Whitetails and trail cams, like we talked with Mark Drury, like, trail cameras do weird things to people's mindset.
They've
deer.
Destroyed.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset. Like, but I'm kind of. I mean, I have some good deer on trail cam this year right now, but I kind of like to just go off the, like you said earlier, like the seat of my pants, like a little bit. Like, I don't really start figuring shit out. Like, I don't right now. I'm not like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go in and kill this deer like October 5th.
Yeah.
Like I like to figure it out on the fly. Like that's more fun. That you're interactive with it. And
so the thing is from. I mean, I've never, ever been a big, you know, summer, big-time scouting guy.
I don't mess with my deer in the summer.
I think it's retarded.
It's stupid. You're fucking shit before you get out there.
Because they transition so much. I have so many deer that, like Randy, I never once had a velvet picture of him. Not one.
Yeah, I can see that, though.
In 5 years, never had a velvet picture of him.
That's funny as hell. It's kind of interesting,
that
too.
Is interesting.
You know?
He just didn't spend the time there in velvet. Like, he was with us. I wonder, like, being, like, the personality that you painted for this deer, was he one of the boys when they was in velvet? Was he like, yeah. Hey, boys, sorry about me being a dick
hey,
all last year.
I got to go simp. It's simp September, but.
I've changed my ways.
No, he turned hard on him. He was like, boys, I'm out for the summer.
Fuck you guys. Yeah. I'm going home. He's probably sitting his fat ass in a cornfield just dominating it.
Yeah.
Cole.
Bean field.
Now, when he's in velvet, he's like, I'm at college, but Hardhorn, I'm going back home, boys.
Yeah, boys.
I'm going back home.
Cole. I'll see you boys in a month and a half, but to beat you guys' asses. Yeah.
Better not What's see up? You around.
What's yeah. up?
Better not see
We're
you
We're cool
around.
Now, but.
Cole, I got to ask.
Catch his hands.
You got to go home and kick some ass.
Catch
you know?
His tines. What's up?
Now, with the history of the farm that you guys have seen, and obviously knowing that all your kids are technically my kids, you know, just how the shit rolls.
You've been hit with a full beer can?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen my kids? Times. Have you seen my kids?
I have not seen my children in
they
a while.
They literally look like...
just like you.
Full disclaimer.
Itty bitty me's running around.
Full disclaimer, Steve might actually die tonight.
I might actually die. Now, knowing that and the history that you've had with this farm, and we brought in your dad's, you know, time with you guys... How excited are you to get your kids into this like whole jumbleia of shit where you're like, I can't wait to get my 8-year-old involved in this fucking like 9-month journey of one fucking deer?
Yeah, like, out of all that garbage that just came out of your mouth, I do like that question.
Okay, that's great. That's great.
I was counting the Bush Lights Stephen's drink while he was asking.
Don't worry about that.
That's what I was doing
over
there.
Don't worry about it.
Shit, dude.
Don't worry about that.
He's halfway to finishing a pony keg. Buddy.
I'm halfway to victory, boys. But we need to know the good question.
And we need to get it. That's kind of my next favorite thing, right? That's kind of why. So I talked about on that other podcast I did.
We'll shout him out quick.
Yeah, Kent's a good guy.
Shout out his podcast out.
Yeah, First Gen Hunter Podcast. Check it out.
He's actually from where we started, right?
Yeah, he's from Sherrard. He's just starting out.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who's listening to Working Class, I think most everybody that listens to Working Class Bowhunter can appreciate what Kent's doing. He's just trying to... His is more geared toward, and that's why it's a little different for me.
Yeah,
because it's geared towards guys who haven't had the upbringing of
my daughter. Sorry about that.
Hunting. It's fine.
Yeah,
we're talking about it. It's fine.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So it's about helping guys that, you know, and it's as far out as I can think, honestly, just from my upbringing. But it's the guys that just decide, hey, I think I'm going to buy a bow.
I think I might try hunting.
I think I'm going to try hunting.
It's very cool.
It is very badass.
That's very me.
And
that's me.
Yeah, it is you. See,
100%. 100 fucking percent.
If you were a little cleaner talking, you'd probably be a good candidate for that.
Yeah,
show. You
would.
100%. It was me.
No, I think that's cool. No, okay. I think it's cool that he's from where we started.
Yeah.
And not that we're like in Hollywood, because it's just what, you know, we're in Deer Hunter Podcast Hollywood is where
and
we're
at. He's asked me to do some stuff. And he's like, totally, you can wear your Working Class bow hunter gear. Because I told him.
He's familiar with our show.
To begin with, I was like, hey, I'm just going to let you know, like, I'm Kurt's.
He's the boy.
I'm one of Kurt's bitches. So
I'm my babies.
Hey, misery loves company, brother.
So they're the only reason that I've ever done a podcast. So
I'd have him in on this podcast, and I'd love to do his podcast. I'm sure we all would.
Absolutely.
So I'm faithful to you.
Hey, good boy.
Gross.
Good boy.
Good.
Gross. I don't know what you guys do at work, but keep that.
Hey, daddy loves you.
Daddy loves you.
Look at that's the happiest I've seen him on this podcast is when he told him that he loves you. Look at that smile.
I feel good.
I did good.
No, but anyways, back to
I did good, right, Daddy?
I did good. I killed two deer my first year on Working Class.
I killed giant fucking deer. Hopefully Kurt loves
me. I made you proud, Daddy, right?
We're so dumb.
Jesus Christ. Dumb.
That was actually the funniest shit about killing Curly. I was like, man, I feel like the pressure's off. Like, I'm not a piece of shit.
I just earned the podcast.
Yeah, and then on the same exact night, Chandler's like, I shot one too. What'd your score? He's like, 170. He's like, mine's 171. I'm like, motherfucker.
You're a dick, Lord Chandler.
You.
Yeah, fuck off.
Nah.
That's funny. White.
And you guys went to the same fraternity, right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
Chandler got you beat.
Randy's in the studio right now on a form. There's no hide on the form, but you have him on.
Yeah, because of the whole COVID thing, my tannery was shut down for like.
Should have hit up Old Barn.
I've used the same one forever, and I talked to Julian.
Yeah,
and he's so maybe next year.
Julian's the whitetail guy at Old Barn. Yeah, you bought a couple of like mounted bucks, but the racks were off Julian, so you could mount your own deer on them.
Right.
Or I don't know what you'd call that. It's a shoulder mount without the rack.
Yeah, yeah. He just, I don't know. He said that the guy was downsizing his collection or something, but the thing was is I had a whole bunch of deer laying around that I didn't have hides for.
Yeah.
Because right. I don't know. We've probably talked about it before. I do my own taxidermy.
Yeah. You went to taxidermy school and all that.
No, I didn't go to school.
Oh, you just learned on your own?
I had a mentor, but.
No kidding.
Yep.
And you still just dabble in it. So you mounted this Curly. You mounted him all yourself.
I basically just mount my own deer now.
It's pretty cool, man.
I'll mount a couple buddies here and there.
Yeah. They look good, man. Like your earbuds look good and everything. Like it's good work.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Do you feel confident in doing it?
I do.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since I was 16.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
I didn't know that. That mount looks great, man. You. It looks great, I think. It's a nice like wall pedestal.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, there's some mounts you see and you're like, aye.
Yeah, Randy looks good too.
Yeah, just all form, baby.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, hey, I could hook you up with a guy that's got some supplies. So you should buy your supplies from my guy, a.k.a. Old Barn.
Is that your guy?
I know a guy.
Tell him we sent you.
That's right.
Maybe you'll get a free mount.
No, but my tannery was shut down for like whatever.
You know who wasn't shut down?
4 months.
Old Barn.
That's because they're in Iowa.
It's a tannery.
Hey.
Fucking rights.
That's what I said. I said, how is that not essential? You know, it's just like time sensitive shit.
Yeah, you got to make
some
gloves.
That's why Old Barn was open because they're a tannery. They're essential.
Because they're smart.
Trump pardoned them. Just saying. That's why you should support Old Barn.
Because Trump pardoned them.
Yeah, so I'm going to start getting my hide stamped at Old Barn.
There you go.
There you
fucking
there
go. That a boy.
That was the right answer.
You're
there
a good boy.
There you go. Good. Hey,
Daddy's got proud it. Of you.
Nice. Other than marrying a hot doctor, that's the smartest decision you've ever made, bro.
That's a good point. Hey, I married a hot doctor with no license, so... That's what kind of game I got.
Bro, I've banged hot chicks with no condoms. Like, what the fuck are you trying to compare?
Hey, listen.
Jesus.
No condoms, probably accurate. Hot chicks, I don't know.
They're not hot, bro.
He banged something.
They're fours
no
at
condoms.
Most.
They're a couple Randys.
Yeah. Like,
a
if
four?
You're
giving them a four?
Actually, now I'm going to name my next deer coming up that Steve. Reminds me of Randy. It's going to be Steve.
There you go.
I actually had a Steve.
No, don't give him that. Don't give him that.
No, he died.
He did. Hey, by the way, switching gears. By the way, respect Randy. Thank you, Randy. Great story.
Good story.
You got to give him the honor.
Cheers to Randy.
Cheers to Randy.
Cheers to Randy.
Cheers to Randy.
He made it a long time, man.
He did. Seven and a half is a long, long. He could be 8.5.
He had a good run.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if he's 7.5 or 8.5. But
hey, I pulled up Boone and Crockett's site from our chat earlier. Whitetail typical. Let me see here. What is it? Awards they call 160 and 170 is all time.
Sweet, I'm all time.
So, and then the other whitetail deer non-typical 185, and then 195 is all time.
Yeah, my buddy's non-typical missed it by 2 inches. I took That's it up there to get scored.
My dad's buck missed by 2 inches as well.
Fuck.
The Geyer buck.
Story of the Geyers.
It's all right.
Missed by 2 inches.
Hey.
It's tough out here.
God damn.
2 inches is a stretch.
Hey. It's a fucking stretch if you only got 5 inches hey. To work with.
Maybe a couple sixteenths.
You don't measure that in sixteenths, buddy. Yeah, you round up.
Hey, you don't measure in eighths either.
That family legend, you know.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, keep it rocking.
We got a quarter inch around
hey,
here.
You measure by the foot, you know what I'm saying? So... It is what
it is. measure by the foot, bro.
Yo, my dick is this big.
I wish this was a video podcast because that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Steve has drank a 12-pack.
Oh, easily.
An 11-pack.
He's on 11, actually.
He had six outside before we came in here.
I had seven outside, so I'm on a 13-pack.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
He's drinking that water.
Mode.
That's why.
Oh my God!
I'm on X Games mode.
Here, Cole. Thank you for coming in the studio. Thanks for bringing the $2. Curly finish looks amazing, and Randy is—he's a really cool buck, man. You should be very proud of that deer.
His hide's pretty awesome too. Like he's just such a big body deer. Like he'll look cool.
Yeah, for sure. No,
I'm trying
I love
to get
it.
Like so. I'm gonna my idea is do a pedestal
mm-hmm.
and then wrap a post with. All seven of his sheds.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, that would
be dope. Really
make them removable so you can like pick them up and stuff.
Velcro.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Velcro.
Is it Velcro this shit?
Velcro, bro.
Jesus nice. Christ. Hell yeah. That's awesome, man. So Good thank fact. You for sharing the story. It's a pretty cool deal. You're a guy that I think of in that top like echelon of people that that kills big bucks and like is a goal setting for big deer. So. You're in that circle in my brain.
He just went from Thanks, six man. To midnight from you telling him that.
I can see from here. Yeah. And
six to, that's what movie is that? Get him to the
know.
Greek.
Yeah, Eric. What movie
him,
is that? Because I've
no
heard
idea.
You say that.
I thought
like,
you were
no
talking
movie.
About Get Him to the Greek, where he talks about jacking off from six to midnight.
Oh no, it's from six to midnight.
Oh,
six p.m. to literally midnight.
Also a dick reference. Okay.
Yes,
there
yes,
you go.
Yes,
yes,
yes
sir.
Got it. Now I got it figured out.
Yeah, buddy.
Here we are. That's what we're...
Well, then why am I playing the intro? He needs some milk.
That's the button I meant to press. Okay.
He needs some milk. I say, are we now doing the intro as an outro, too?
I was confused. I thought you were going to end on that. I was like, yeah, no, dude.
Just like, all right, and that's it. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. See you later.
Can't end on a dick short reference.
Jesus.
Well, thanks for sharing the story, man. Appreciate you coming in. It was a lot of fun. I want to ask Steve if he can give us a quick description of his podcast that he's got dropping, but I'm scared to ask, being a 12-pack deep.
13-pack.
And I really got to pee, so.
Okay, give me 15 seconds.
Okay, let's take a pee break, and then we'll come back. Okay, we're back. So Steve's going to basically make the pitch, or you're going to explain what the project is. I don't know if you want to give too much away, but.
I'll give everything away. So
he's been doing it his whole life. Doesn't care.
Just don't give it all away.
Doesn't give a shit. All right. Here's the thing.
This is the podcast after the podcast right now. Go shoot your bow. We love you. So you've ended the Cole Young podcast. Here's the 20 minutes of Steve talking.
Is this going to be 20 minutes?
I hope not.
Well, yeah, it's going to be 20 minutes of me talking about a three minute podcast. So, Here's the situation. As you guys have listened for the past 5 years, I've always been kind of just like looking on the outside of shit. My focus has never been WCB like it should have. Should have been, but here we are, 5 years later. My new podcast that I'm starting is going to be called Getting Strange with Stevie Moe. This is going to be the podcast where maybe people that have been on this episode or not, this is the time for them to be, look, we all need an avenue, a venture that we need to open up, right? You guys understand that. So a lot of guys that go to work every single day, get to work 8 hours, come home. You do the family life, like you need a little venture where you're like, dude, I need to just break the fuck off from reality for a couple of seconds. That's where I'm going to come in.
No, you're stealing our market, bro.
Get weird.
Well, fuck you guys, all right? Because you guys didn't pay me shit. So I'm
Hey, remember I run the mute button?
Oh, shit. Are you gonna meet me on my that motherfucker's gonna meet me on my own fucking pitch.
Stop out here. Hey,
Jesus.
Hey, you know what's the best thing about being the producer?
Yeah.
The best thing about being the producer is I could just
hey, fuck it.
What the mute button?
Yeah,
is that the best part?
That is the best part.
This is the best part. So if we can all I want to tell you guys how much I love Kurt Geyer. Oh, he's going to say he lets that shit fucking go. No, realistically, I'm talking a lot of shit. I'm going to talk to you guys about what's going on for me next. So I've got a new project that I'm going to start, and it's going to be a lot more of me branching out, talking a lot of stupid shit.
Which is what you're good at.
Which is what I get. What I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm good at. But if for everybody that's been listening and have reached out to me, dude, I'm not dead. There's no fucking bad blood between any of us because I'm still here doing the same drunken dumb shit that I've done. But for me. And this might get a little personal. You guys can take it away with that.
Careful.
What it is.
Careful, he says.
He
needs some milk.
That was the best. Lighten it up a little.
Kind of want to set it up for that. I want to set up for the dumb shit. No, like.
Is he getting personal right now?
Dude,
I want to drag it out into that. So I don't fuck you guys. All right, here's...
What's your name?
The plain and simple facts of what I'm going to do next. I'm starting my own podcast, and it's going to be called Getting Strange with Stevie Moe. Okay, so what this is going to entail is... I've always had a lot of outside interests, you know, whether it be golf, wrestling,
Steve,
cooking,
you could,
and shit.
Steve's had a lot of other interests. Hunting always hasn't been his main passion. He's trying to pursue comedy because that's what he likes. That's what he's good at. He's cared about comedy this whole time.
Loves comedy.
Loves it. Dude, he adores it.
Dives in deep.
Jesus
Give
Christ.
Us a fucking meat and taters.
All right. Can I try this one more time?
Go.
Third time's the charm. All right. Yeah. Ready. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm Shoot ready. Us a promo
I'm about
for
to
this.
Just fire here's your ass, the, and that's what I'll tell everybody. God
yeah,
damn.
Jesus Christ. All right, easier. Here's the promo. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? Get 3, 2, 1. All right. Coming down the road is the Stevie Mo podcast. It's called Getting Strange with Stevie Mo. You always wanted to hear me talk about crazy shit on the Working Class Bowhunter podcast? Well, guess what? That's not going to happen anymore. I want to talk about wrestling, food, cooking, maybe Pornhub.com.
But probably Pornhub.com.
Most likely Pornhub.com.
With links.
But what we're going to find now is...
Link in the description.
I've got my own shit. I cannot be limited of what I can say. I'm going to say what I want, when I want, where I want. Everybody, you were like, hey, man. I'd like to hear more. Well, guess what? They're going to be on my fucking podcast, and I'm going to crush it. There is no fucking reason that the WCB podcast is not taking over the world. They have the hunting world. I'm the guy that they allowed
the
to
world.
Fucking take over the porn world, the OnlyFans world, the fucking...
Send your feet pics into...
Send your feet pics to CBMO podcast. Dude, here's the thing. We're talking a lot of shit, but... We're all boys. We're all still here in the same room.
Mm. Okay, here's the thing. Your pitch is fantastic. We do hope you kill it.
Oh, okay.
That's we hope you bring the people that. And if you subscribe to our Patreon, I think you're going to do a monthly series called Thoughts from a Steve.
100%. So,
and that's either spelled thoughts, like you think thoughts are spelled, or T-H-O-T-S.
They're definitely T-H-O-T-S.
Definitely spelled wrong, for sure.
You want it T-H-O-T-S?
Yes, I want it T-H-O-T-S.
Okay, I'll remake it.
I've been drinking heavily since Cole is here, but what you guys
Cole's
can
been here like 3 minutes after you've been here.
Yeah, same
it
thing.
Is what it is. Come on,
same thing.
Cole drank Still, two, and you drink 13.
That's great. What you guys
Good
can
for
expect
Cole.
Is I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be around. So
I got a record, man. You can't drink too much.
Jeez.
All right.
I clobber that. What you can expect is the Patreon Thoughts from Steve is going to be.
I like that.
Cole will still be around.
He's down to 6 lives now.
Continue.
Doug, Kurt, Eric.
Down to 5.
Killers are going to carry this podcast where it goes. Steve.
You're down to 4, Cat, Miss Cat.
I'm going to go ahead and do what the fuck I got
to
do.
Down
so,
to 3.
Guys. Gals.
2. 1. You got
Everybody.
1 life left. Do it.
Let it ride.
Let it ride.
Oh, here I am.
You're dead.